Okay, Brother Aaron, today we're talking Brother Orange.
Hey, how's it going, Brother Dan?
Doing well, my brother.
Yeah.
How come Matt doesn't have a name, a nickname?
Oh, Matt Stopera.
Yeah, Matt Stopera.
Actually, the Chinese netizens did give him a nickname. They called him Dobie.
Dobie, what does that stand for?
Well, I know that do means bean in Chinese, so it's kind of like Mr. Bean.
Uh-huh. So is he supposed to be really goofy?
I guess so. He seems pretty goofy. I've seen his pictures on the internet, and he seems like a fun-loving, goofy kind of guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Dobie and Brother Orange. What's the deal with these guys? Why did they get so famous?
Well, you know, that's a good question, because there's lots of stories out there. But there's a lot of reasons why I think this story took off. I don't think it's really so simple. But I was really attracted to this story because it has so many interesting angles to it.
Right. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. The whole, making lemonade out of lemons, something good out
exactly.
of something bad.
No, it's one of these things that's a blessing in disguise. And we all experience this in our life. We have a down point or something bad happens and it seems terrible at the time. But, you know, it can lead to something. It could open new doors, new possibilities. And in this case, he had his iPhone stolen, which is not like a big tragedy or anything.
Well, to me, it would be huge. if I lost my iPhone. So I can feel that's why I was dragged to this story. I can imagine how pissed off you would be.
Yeah.
And then have something wonderful happen.
Yeah. It's an amazing. And this wonderful thing that happened. Nobody ever would have predicted it. And I think that's why it's initially this story is so attractive. It's like you get your iPhone stolen. You think that's it. And a whole year goes by and you've just completely forgotten about it. You've moved on with your life. And then suddenly you get this weird, you know, you get these weird photos there of this mysterious guy taking selfies in front of orange trees in who knows where. And it just becomes so mysterious and interesting.
Yeah, so he became super famous in China. And what's the social media that they use there?
Weibo. It's like Twitter.
Okay. Like
it's,
Twitter.
Yeah, it's similar to Twitter.
And how many he got, like a million followers or something?
I don't think it was that many. I mean, the story, by the time it had finished, it had like 70 million views on it. So, I mean, clearly millions of people were following it.
Okay. And so that's the other main element, just like a regular Joe who becomes famous.
Yeah, he becomes famous in China. And that's also an interesting part of the story because China, unlike a lot of places in the world, when it comes to the internet, is such a closed-off area. You know, China bans so many Western sites. And because we don't speak Chinese, a lot of us don't speak Chinese or read Chinese, we don't have access to a lot of what's going on in those social networks and in China. So here's one of the things that just comes together, and the story bridges that gulf, if you will.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, clearly, this is a wild story, but it makes me think that, you know, you spent some time in Taiwan.
That's right.
And Hong Kong.
Yeah.
And China mainland?
Yeah, I was in mainland China traveling around for about 4 months.
Okay, and this was what, 20 years ago?
No, not that long. I'm not that old, Dan. Come on, man.
Grandpa Orange.
Yeah, right. This was in the late 90s. I spent 2 years in Taiwan, and I was in China for 4 months.
Okay, did you ever feel like a little bit of a celebrity just being a Westerner?
Not really. I mean, when I went to China in some of the more rural areas, yes, I got stared at by a lot of people and people would sit down and stare at me and take pictures of me while I was eating. And so, yeah, a little bit of that, but not in Taiwan. Not at all.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. But the reason I ask is because, you know, we think about China being very international these days. And of course it is international, but at the same time, I was reading this article yesterday about these new real estate developments that are kind of in the middle of nowhere. They're kind of luxury properties.
Right.
And the way that they market these is they just hire regular white guys and white women who are living in China to pretend like they're living there to give it this international feel.
Oh, that's interesting.
So
actually, I have a woman that I went to high school with who became famous in China.
What did she become famous for?
Well, this was in the mid-90s. She was there in Beijing, and she got put on a sitcom, like a comedy show on television called Foreign Babes in Beijing. Her name is Rachel Dawoskin. And she played like this like a sexy Western young woman who was like stealing the boyfriends of Chinese women and making them very angry and things, and she became famous for that. Yeah,
this was a friend of yours.
Yeah, well, I went to high school with her. I knew her. We weren't close friends.
Was she in China when you were in China?
No, I don't think so. I think she had left by the time I had gotten there.
Okay.
And but her father was like a professor of Chinese studies, and she spoke really good Chinese. Her Chinese was impeccable, from what I hear. And so yeah, so she became. So I think, you know, it's possible for someone who, if you're in the right place at the right time, you could become famous in a big country like China.
Right.
But would
right.
you want to be?
Right.
I mean,
right.
That's, fame is one of those double-edged swords.
Well, you know, I think that's also at the crux of this story is, well, maybe a lot of people secretly desire to be famous.
Well, I think there's something to that. I mean, we have egos. And we want to be recognized for our good qualities. And I think there's just something kind of, amazing or dreamlike about being famous. And people may want to experience that. I mean, it would be interesting to be famous for a day or famous for a week. But would you want to be famous your whole life? That I wonder if that's a good thing or not.
Different levels of fame.
Yeah.
The kind of fame where you can't go to the store, or people probably, you know, Brother Orange fame or Matt Stopera fame, at least now.
Yeah.
Is the point where they can't do anything without cameras coming out and taking pictures of them. That would suck.
Yeah. No, that would not be good.
But like mid-level fame that allows you to make connections with people and open doors to access things that you can't normally access.
But I think that they're at that now. I mean, they were super famous for maybe a month or so. And then gradually, you know, they're not like major celebrities. They're minor celebrities. But the interesting thing is, and I think this is another interesting aspect of this story, is that there's an element of self-promotion to it.
Yeah.
I mean, like when Matt steps off the plane in Weizhou to meet Brother Orange.
Right.
You know, Brother Orange knew that this was going to happen. I mean, he could sense that this was going to be a big thing.
Right.
And he took advantage of it. I mean, he put his own picture on his car.
Uh-huh.
And when they drove to the restaurant he owned, he had already renamed the restaurant Brother Orange
right.
in Chinese.
Right.
And it had a new sign. I saw the picture. It had a new sign
right.
over the old sign. And so, I mean, he was clearly using this to kind of promote his business. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But companies and television programs that are using this story also. And, you know, some of those companies had product placements.
Well,
and,
you know, that also brings up another aspect of the story is Matt Stopera works for BuzzFeed.
Yeah.
And BuzzFeed, their whole business model is they create content that goes viral.
Yeah.
In order to sell advertising.
Sure. And I wonder if there's an element to this story that it could possibly be planned in a way. I mean, maybe, I don't think Matt actually knew that this was going to go viral, but maybe, who knows, maybe they had a Chinese person translate it and seed it on Weibo. I mean, we
right.
don't know that.
Right.
Yeah.
And the way the level that it spread, and so it's not just China. I mean, this story was huge in the U.S. and on the English internet.
Right, right, right.
And I wonder how much of that had to do with Matt Stopera's employer, BuzzFeed.
Sure.
Being behind the story and helping push it on the
internet. And I'm sure they must have had some connections with Weibo employees in Beijing. I mean, those big social networks and big websites, they meet each other at conferences and international.
Right, right.
They probably had drinks together at some.
Right.
And maybe they had a talk and said, hey, like, let's look for a story. Let's try and get a story.
Right.
Let's see if we can make it go viral. Who knows?
Right.
I mean, who knows?
Right.
But it's still a really.
Right. But I mean, like viral stories, they can be manufactured. But at the crux of it, there has to be certain core ideas that attract people.
Yeah.
Like things that shock
or,
you know, synchronicities, amazing coincidences, or the idea of celebrity.
Yeah, and this story had all those elements.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the things that is I also think is quite fascinating is the fact that I wonder if this story would have gone viral if it had not been China, if it had been, let's say, a different country like Russia or Brazil.
Right.
Maybe there's something about the cultural differences between Chinese and Americans, as well as the complex political climate. Because, you know, in the news, we're constantly seeing we see positive things when it comes to Chinese economic development. But when it comes to politics, we see a lot of negative stuff in the Western media that sort of promotes fear. Oh, that China's growing. They're a growing superpower, and their army's growing, and they're starting to, you know, cause trouble in the South China Sea and with Japan. And the media riles that up, and for probably reasons of attract more viewers and push certain political agendas. And maybe the same thing goes on in China. So here's an opportunity for both normal, average, everyday Americans and everyday Chinese people to see something positive that has friendship involved, love, like goofing around, horsing around, having fun, and it's built on something negative, like the theft of a phone that ends up in a market.
Right.
And it ends up in the hands of actually seems like a really nice guy, Brother Orange.
Right.
I mean, he's not the thief.
But, you know, this story is overwhelmingly positive.
Yeah.
About how amazing coincidences create this, you know, this friendship and this bond across cultures when, you know, most of what we know of how news spreads or the way companies manipulate the news is by pushing the negative.
Yeah.
So maybe we're all secretly looking for something, some kind of counterweight, some kind of balance to all the negative war and murder and tragedy that
sure.
we see on the news.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people are just hungry for that.
Yeah.
And this was it came along at just the right time, you know.
Right. But didn't it also come on April 1st, which is of course April Fool's
Day?
I think it was April 1st or April 2nd, because actually I think you told me about it and you were wondering, could this be
maybe
a hoax?
Maybe that's a, I don't know. Maybe that
but
is
I think
a
that was just
coincidence.
Yeah,
yeah, I think that was a coincidence.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's really interesting. And the other thing that I think is quite intriguing is the fact that when you follow this story, you can so easily imagine that being you.
Yeah.
I mean, I when I read it, it was like, wow, that could have happened to me so easily.
Yeah.
Someone could have taken my iPhone and I saw these pictures. Now, I didn't work for BuzzFeed.
Yeah.
I mean, where would I have published this story?
Yeah.
It probably wouldn't have gotten picked up. But you never know. With Facebook, anybody can put something on Facebook or make a video and put it on YouTube and they could be a celebrity. I mean, look at that pop star Justin Bieber. You remember that guy, Justin Bieber?
Right,
you know, the
right.
famous.
Well, I mean, he did. He was quite talented.
No, he had a lot of talent. He had a lot of talent. But, I mean, he got his start on YouTube, posting videos of himself on YouTube, and it just blew up. And so we're not talking about a talent here, but we are talking about a really interesting story. It had a lot of content. If that is the talent, then that maybe is one of the reasons why it blew up so easily.
Yeah, I mean, it's two regular guys, and I think everybody can relate to them because they're just normal, but they've reached this level of fame that maybe a lot of people secretly desire.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Now, here's an interesting question. If you were Matt, like now, what would you do to use the fame that you have and the influence you have? Because it's not going to be around forever. This is the kind of thing that it's a flash in the pan. You know, you become kind of famous for a little while and then you know, life goes back to normal. But now Matt has an opportunity, just like Brother Orange does, to use this to build something, to build on it. Like, what would you do in his situation to build on this?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Sounds like you put a lot of thought into this.
when I was writing some of the questions for the lessons, I did give that a little thought because there's a section on...
You probably would like try to usher in an age of world peace.
Well, actually, there's pretty close to
you
that.
You know,
actually.
Just try to make the world a better place. You would give away all your possessions and somehow...
No, you know what I would do?
Already I can see this.
Give me a chance to talk,
okay.
Brother.
All right, Brother Aaron.
If I were Matt, I would get in touch with Brother Orange, and I'd say, let's set up some kind of intercultural, international exchange, like an educational, cultural exchange between young people, and bring them together in the bromance sort of fashion. And it, it doesn't have to be men. I mean, it can be women as well. And try and match them together and see if I don't know, companies can donate money, or maybe you can turn it into some kind of business model. But it, this is really important, I think, because, you know, China and the United States could so easily in the future, as they especially as China becomes more and more of a superpower and starts flexing its muscles more, it could lead to a lot of great conflict. And there's a lot we don't understand as Westerners about Chinese culture. There's a lot the Chinese don't understand about, you know, Western culture. I think it's a great opportunity they have to bring more people together in dialogue and in sharing and in friendship.
So, and while you're doing it, why not sell a little bit of orange juice?
Exactly. Right? Exactly. Why not?
Yeah, I know.
Why not?
That's your cover story. International peace and bromance. And why not sell a little orange juice?
Well, who knows?
On the side.
Who knows?
So yeah, what's Brother Orange doing? He's got a restaurant.
Well, he's got a restaurant.
To promote his restaurant.
I bet he might start franchising it.
Okay, yeah. And what about Matt Stopera? What's he doing?
I have no idea. I mean, this is such a fresh story that it's still developing.
Right. I mean, it's the beginning of April,
yeah.
So it's about a month old. I mean, I wonder if their 15 minutes is already over. Their 15 minutes of fame.
I think it is, but I think it's still not too late to build on it.
Right.
To
That's
use
what we're
it
doing.
For something. What are you talking about?
We're using it to teach English.
Well, we've never had 15 minutes of fame.
Yeah,
have you
right.
had your 15 minutes
that's
of
right.
fame?
That's right. Well, maybe it's right now.
What?
Maybe this English lesson is going to go viral.
No, I think it's just for members
all right,
only.
We need some amazing coincidence. Let's talk about our origin story. You stole my iPhone that year back in 1998.
That's right. Yeah.
And I hunted you down.
Yeah.
And I brought you to the light.
Yeah.
I showed you the error of your ways.
Yeah.
And we formed Deep English.
Yeah, that's right. It's all based on a stolen iPhone.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I mean, they got an amazing origin story if they were to create something bigger.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I, you know, I've seen an interview with them. They really do, even though there doesn't seem to be a language, you know, that they share.
Yeah.
They do seem quite.
Well,
know,
they do. They seem like close. They have a very close bond.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they
yeah.
seem very comfortable around
yeah.
each other.
Yeah.
yeah. I saw a clip on Ellen, the
yeah.
show Ellen.
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
Yeah, I saw that one.
Yeah, it's on YouTube. Watch it. It's
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just seem happy. I like
right.
Ellen. Ellen's kind of
right.
a funny, smart person.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. So, but yeah. So yeah, that's the feel-good story of the year so far. And I wonder what's coming next.
I don't know, but I like it. And I don't know.
I don't know either, Dan. I'm all out.
All right, Brother Aaron.
Okay, Brother Dan.
Over and out.
Okay, we'll see you soon, real soon.